recent news. Minister of Youth and Sport Dito Aryo Tejo has stated that President Prabowo Subianto is firmly committed to advancing Indonesia's achievements in international sport. This commitment is reflected in the allocation and scale of funding provided to the federations of sport branches, which has reached 630 billion rupiah across two phases. Minister of State Secretary Pak Setiadi responded to workers concerned about layoffs in several regions raised during the International Labour Day commemoration. In his statement on this day, Hadi emphasized that the government is not ignoring the issue and will strive to mitigate and handle it comprehensively. That's the news.
Presents a song from the province of West Sumatra titled Mudiak Arau. This song Mudiak Arau was composed by Aji Sultan Sati. It tells the poignant story of a woman who faithfully waits for a man returning from his travels. No matter the circumstances or the changes he may have undergone during his time away, she remains steadfast in her love and anticipations. Well, listeners, here is Mudiak Arau performed by Nurul Fadilah Hamid. Enjoy!
away for no reason. Have you ever thought that I'm what a tree needs to live? I am what animals need to reproduce. I am what humans need to survive. Yes, I am water. Save me, so that the earth and its content can continue to be sustainable.
Indonesia is doing an international level is trying to give a message to the world, not only the actual agenda, but also a message that we would like to give to the whole community of the world. Soon, our Minister of Foreign Affairs, Sugiono, will join or attend the Foreign Minister meeting of BRICS Plus, and this will be the first meeting that Indonesia attends as an official member of BRICS, and to see the significance of this meeting and our membership, and also the related recent geopolitical situation, we will talk with the observer of Indonesian affairs, Tutu Rizasha. Good morning, Patuku.
Good morning! So, greetings from Bangkok in Bandung.
Oh, greetings from Jakarta. Thank you very much for joining us in this early morning, sir. So, I would like to know, how do you see that this meeting will have an impact, especially for Indonesia, and the current geopolitical and geoeconomic situation?
Well, the answer is more than what I'm saying. I think we have ideological reason, economic reason, and strategic reason. But above all, the first meeting is always very important for Indonesia. To claim globally its ideological reason that we are adhering to a free and active foreign policy, in this case, we emphasize neutrality and non-alignment, and then proving our credibility in facing the changing global factor today. So, this is the what we call the ideological reason for Indonesia. And also, we prove our credibility in this case that Indonesia is a free and active and non-aligned country, avoiding itself into conflicts among major powers, and then always prepared to guard peace and security in the world. And today, I think we need to be aware also that we are not living in a very peaceful world, because at the moment we are witnessing so many conflicts in many parts of the world. The most critical one is in eastern part of Europe and also in the Middle East countries. And also in today's meeting, I think our Minister of Foreign Affairs is aware that BRICS today is huge. Yeah? We comprise around 4.3 billion people in the world, close to 45% of the world population. So this meeting is very important for Indonesia.
Okay, so it is important for Indonesia. Of course, as we know, even in marketing, first impression is very important, and if it's strong, then well, the rest is going to be up to you. So, how do you say that Indonesia will be accepted among the nations of BRICS?
Well, I think nations of BRICS, they really appreciate Indonesian global credibility. Yeah. For example, we have established ASEAN, Association of Southeast Asian Nations, in the first week of August 1967. And since then, since we established ASEAN, we have made Southeast Asia as a very peaceful and credible region. No conflict among states, and then when we have disputes among each other, we settle it peacefully. And then that's the first one. And also Indonesia have to establish Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation. Also Indonesia have established Indian Ocean Rim Association. Also Indonesia, we are the founding father of the Non-Aligned Movement, for example, in 1955, sometime in late April. We have organized the first Asia-Africa Conference. And if we follow the statement issued by the first president, Abu Dhano, that he mentioned, this is the first intercontinental conference of colored people in the history of the world. So I think Indonesia has a great credibility, and we always tend to prove our involvement in many peacekeeping operations all over the world. So when there is a peace, when there is crisis in the world, Indonesia is there to not only to share Indonesia's best ideas, but also to send troops to the conflicting region. So I think Indonesia and BRICS will be nicely welcomed by all countries inside BRICS.
So it's not only being just simply a membership, but we can contribute, and people know that we are credible enough to give that contribution. And we got a question from the newsroom, from our newsroom, saying that as a chairman of even the leadership of BRICS this year, Brazil is having this struggling global South cooperation for more inclusive and sustainable governance. And in terms of our credibility, what can Indonesia share with the whole community in this issue?
I think Indonesia, we always have ideas, yeah. I think Indonesia will produce its credibility, not only putting itself as a credible establisher of international regional groupings like ASEAN, APEC, or non-aligned movement, but also Indonesia will introduce new ideas, I think. Whereas, if we talk about BRICS, learning from the best practices of ASEAN, I think BRICS should involve greater participation of the people. I think in this case, Indonesia may encourage BRICS member countries to involve its people, its non-state actors, for example, cities, provinces, into several critical areas, such as education, above poverty alleviation, and then technology and artificial intelligence, health, innovation, and also micro, small, and medium enterprises. And not to mention good governance and anti-corruption in the future cooperation of BRICS. I think Indonesia, even though this is a new FMM for Indonesia, but I think we must come in with big ideas.
And as we go away from Indonesia itself, let's talk about the BRICS per se, saying that the global management reform will also be a topic to be discussed in this meeting. Could you share with us why this is being discussed by BRICS?
Well, I think BRICS need to be aware on what is happening at the global level today. For example, if we see at the global level, we are witnessing tons of ideas of tariffs. It has affected not only BRICS member countries, but also the rest of the world. And also, BRICS need to respond to the ongoing future crisis, for example, in Panama, and then in Canada, with regards to the US new policies. I think so that's why I think BRICS need to also think on how to empower itself and how to empower the world at the same time. I think this would be the venue for Indonesia to introduce ideas, because at the moment, the world peace and cooperation is shrinking. Yeah? For example, Indonesia may produce ideas to reform the United Nations at the moment, because the world is experiencing greater instabilities, for example, in the areas of peace and security, especially in Middle East and East Europe. And then in this case, the world is also experiencing recession, which is resembled to the 1930s era, which is close to the World War situation. I think Indonesia will use BRICS as a vehicle to empower the United Nations in the future. Because at the moment, as we know, we have 5 permanent member countries, yeah? And then they do not really represent the civilization of the world. For example, US, France, UK, Russia, they are representing the Judeo-Greco-Roman, and China is representing the Mandarin civilization. I think Indonesia will propose in the future, soon after it finds itself stronger inside BRICS, I think we may introduce new criteria for the world civilization, for example, Islamic civilization and Hindu civilization, also a population criteria and then development criteria, and also criteria in maintaining global peace, via peacekeeping, peacemaking, and peacebuilding. I think BRICS is working very hard, and at the moment, with Indonesia inside, BRICS is in its, well, let me call it a stabilizing level.
Okay, so everybody got their representation, and it's global organization. Everybody know the face and then about certain people, but literally everyone, including like you said, the Islamic world, they also need more representation, of course, and this might be a standing demand to like realism. And if this happened, how much is the impact if BRICS also play a role in here, sir?
Well, BRICS, yeah. BRICS consists of Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, yeah. If we think on the current population, yeah, China has 1.4 billion population, so that's India 1.4. Brazil has around 220 million population, and South Africa has 60 million population, and Indonesia we have around 260 million population. So at the moment, I think BRICS members, along with the new member countries, we have around 4.3 billion population. It is close to 45% of world's population. So inside BRICS, you already have Russia and China. They are the current permanent member of the United Nations Security Council. So we may attract Brazil, Indonesia, India, and South Africa to become the next member of the UNSC. So by having BRICS members inside the UNSC, I think it will produce a more democratic decision. Countries will be very careful in utilizing their veto powers. At the moment, only one country has been using the veto power unwisely. So I think BRICS need also to think how to empower the nations and how to prepare the transition in this UNSC in a more democratic way.
And we have been talking about what Indonesia brings to this forum, to this meeting, and how Indonesia can be seen by the members. I would like to know right now, what can Indonesia bring back home, the direct impact from joining this first meeting, especially related to the reciprocal tariff that was announced by AUKUS or Donald Trump. So what kind of impact we can bring home?
I think this would be very interesting, yeah, because all countries at the moment, they are dealing with the US at the bilateral level. China rejects the deal, but we do not know what will happen to Russia. Maybe at the moment Russia will make itself closer to China. But I think BRICS would also to say what will happen with regard to the other developing countries. Because when Indonesia joined BRICS, one of the key statements was Indonesia will utilize its positive results from BRICS and share it to the developing countries. I think in this case, meeting with BRICS members will solidify Indonesia's current position, not only in dealing with the US, but also in dealing with other developed countries. And also, I think BRICS will make Indonesia more familiar with the projects already introduced inside BRICS. They call it New Development Bank. I think Indonesia, we have had enough experience in dealing with the World Bank and also with the IMF. They also have experience dealing with the Chinese Belt and Road Initiative, also with the Chinese Asian Investment and Infrastructure Bank. And now inside BRICS, now we have the New Development Bank. I think Indonesia will have better experience in how to utilize this New Development Bank into answering the immediate challenges faced by Indonesia today, especially in the area of energy transition, food security, and technology transfer.
Okay, thank you very much, Tuku, for joining us. We got what we needed to see how significant this meeting for Indonesia. It seems that Indonesia will need to prove itself in this very first meeting, and also what it's bringing back, all the benefits, is not only for Indonesia, but also for other developing countries, which is very, very selfless. Okay, thank you very much, Tuku Rizasha. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Well, this is an observer of Indonesia, first, Tuku Rizasha, and you can listen again to this dialogue on the VOI Talk on our YouTube channel, VOI Official.
Voice of India.
pyramid structure is found in Indonesia. During America Geophysical Unit meeting in 2018, Indonesian research team showed their latest study that stated Mount Padang in Cianjur, West Java is the oldest pyramid structure in the world. Kidung Remexo in Wangi was created by Sunan Kalijaga and sung after evening prayer to prevent any spirit or demon from coming. The lyric can also mean as a prayer to the god.
With this, today's Music Corner presents a song by Raisa Andiani. Raisa Andiani, who was born in Jakarta February 21, 2004, is an Indonesian singer and songwriter. Although only 20 years old, she has successfully won a number of prestigious awards. One of her achievements was when she became the ambassador for Spotify's global campaign Equal and had her photo displayed in New York Times Square, United States of America. Not only that, Raisa Andiani's songs are often included in the Anugerah Musik Indonesia Awards and have become soundtracks for several films. Recently, she released her latest song titled Lagu Cinta Untuk Mama, or Love Song for Mama, which will also be the soundtrack for the film with the same title. Despite the title, the song is an expression of a child's love for a mother. The lyrics contain praise for the irreplaceable love and affection of a mother. The song was created by the Indonesian well-known composer and maestro Andi Rianto, together with Raisa herself. In writing it, Peter Taslim, the brother of Indonesian popular actor Joe Taslim, who is also the executive producer of the film Lagu Cinta Untuk Mama, also took part. Well, listen, here is Raisa Andiani with the song Lagu Cinta Untuk Mama. Happy listening!
Bye. Thank you.